Let's think a minute about people who had been through the wilderness for 40 years. Here we go. Now you've had the same pair of clothes on for 40 years. It's miraculous. You know, they didn't wear out. You've had didn't it say your shoes grew with the feet? That's miraculous, isn't it? But let me ask you ladies especially. One pair of shoes for 40 years? No. That's not your best, and believe it or not, it's not God's best. Yes, sir. Okay, I see what you're doing. Okay. How about the same food? How many of you have eaten at more than one restaurant since you've been in Houston? I mean, we had Chinese food the first day, but by the time I got through with Chinese food, I don't want Chinese for a day or two, okay? I mean, it was great, you know, but we like variety. And the manna was supernatural, but for 40 years. Now, that group of people, same clothes, same food, 40 years. He brings them into this promised land, and they conquer Jericho. Through God's wisdom, they conquer Jericho, and here is a wealthy city. There's gold, there's silver, there's change of garments. Think what that would look like to a group of people who had not had a new pair of shoes in 40 years. What was God's command about all of that gold and silver and clothing and all of the wealth in that city? Was 10% of it the Lord's? What's the first lesson they had to learn in the promised land? It all belongs to the Lord. And you know the story about Achan. What's amazing to me is there was only one man out of several million. I mean, that wilderness training, we're going to look at it here in a minute. That wilderness training had done its job well. Out of several million people, only one man by the name of Achan. In Oklahoma, we'd say he squirreled away. he hid away a little bit of wealth and I think a change or two of clothing. I didn't know the Lord was going to do this. He purposely does this to me so I don't mess it up. But you know what happened? He, only one man, which to me, that's the miracle, that there was only one out of several million when they haven't seen anything new, not anything fresh for 40 years. And out of all of those, only one man hid it away. You know what that's a type of? See, during that 40-year period, what do we see happening? That old generation that grew up in bondage, let's say the old man that grew up in slavery, it's a type of you being born in sin. And all of the training that you had, all of your soul, everything you saw in Egypt growing up before you got born again, your mind was trained as a slave mentality. Slave to sin, slave to the system. Not really choices. And they could not believe God's word enough to take the promised land. So what do we see during that 40-year period? We see the old man dying off. And at the same time, we see the new generation, the one growing up. It's a type of mortification and edification, transformation, going from a people who cannot believe and obey, which is the result of believing, to a people who can believe. And even though God says, I know you haven't seen a new pair of shoes in 40 years, I know you haven't seen anything new, this first conquer, this first conquest, it's all holy to the Lord. Now you trust me, and I will give you that which is yours. But first comes that which is mine. You're dismissed. Glory to God. Is that good stuff or what? Yes, sir. Now I'm going to read you three prophecies that's come forward through Pastor Dave within the last year. This one came in April 20th of 2005. And the Lord said, For indeed, you are entering into a time when once again I will be able to make men wealthy. And I will be able to make them wealthy for my cause. Jericho, for my cause. For they came to me first, and I was able to do in them what needed to be done. Now that's the 40 years. Have you been going through yours? Have you been doing the message? Been a lot of foundation, digging deep? Have you allowed the Holy Spirit to remove some rocks out of the soil of your soul? How about some thorns? 1st, he had to do in them what needed to be done. Therefore, as my foundation increases, many things are laid upon it. And know this. Now he's talking about media now. Media. My words will be heard in the earth this day, as in no other generation. For I am bringing many things together. I am bringing wealth and media together. And I am now having the voices that I want to be represented by my wealth. Therefore, be strong. For I am getting ready to move on those who have been faithful with little. How many of you out there is that a good word to? Can I see your hand for a moment? How many of you understand faithful with little when what's in your heart is so much bigger? Many of you have heard this, but many of you haven't. I think it's important. When Sue and I first began at the prayer center all those years ago, you just don't know how destroyed we were. When we walked through the doors of that building, we were two of the most destroyed humans you ever saw in your life. In every way, physically, emotionally, had no vision, we'd lost our way. We were going to heaven, but we were lost on the way. Does that make any sense to you? We were floundering. It got so bad we could hardly hold a civil conversation with people. We were a mess. And boy, we began listening to those messages, and I mean, it was like cool water to a thirsty soul. Dave's humor was so, my wife would laugh, and she hadn't laughed in a long time. And glory to God, it was wonderful. And we began drinking, and we were just so thankful to once more be drinking in the water of life and hearing truth. And even though a lot of it we didn't even understand, I think Dave is better now. He was, in those days, he would teach up here. And I'd go home and I was better, but I didn't know why. And I'd talk with other people and I go, did you understand that? And they go, no. And they said, but we're better, aren't we? Yes, we are, you know. But over the years, God, now thank God. How many of you know what I mean when I say thank God for the piranha adopted by the goldfish and for the duck raised by chickens, and thank God for the wolf Cain, and the parable of the wolf. Thank God for those things. But what I'm getting to is this: faithful in little. In those early days, one day we didn't have much money. We had, there was one night, I believe Sue had about $10, but in her purse, and I think I knew she had that, but I know it's not God to, take the milk money, and you got to have a little bit for eggs, And God wasn't telling us to give, but it was offering time. And we just wanted to give so bad. And the only thing, I looked in my wallet, I didn't have a single dollar, but I did have Sue gets on to me because I carry too much change. It wears out the holes in my pants, I had quite a bit of change in my pocket. So now it wouldn't bother me today, but in those days, I just didn't want to give pennies to God. So what I was doing as Dave was exhorting over the offering, I'm looking down in my hand. I had the change. And what I'm doing is I'm separating out the pennies. And going to put the silver into the offering when it comes. So I'm looking down like this. I'm embarrassed, to be honest with you. I don't want people to see that I'm just giving change, even though it's all that I really had. And I didn't know that Dave walked down off the platform, and he walked right up in front of where we were sitting, and he said, "Son, the Lord wants you to know that the day is going to come when you're going to be able to give according to what's in your heart and not according to what's in your hand tonight." Therefore, be strong, for I'm getting ready to move on those who have been faithful with little. Even in this room, I'm looking around at the faces that I know that even helping us do what we do, some of you have given a lot, but let me say it, yes, sir. The Lord corrected me. All of you have given a lot. And what's a lot to one might be a small amount to another. But I hear him saying, all of you want to give more. See, and that's what I find as we travel around the United States. The kind of people that we run into, most of them are not trying to figure out ways to give less to God. Most of them I meet are trying to figure out how they can give more and still raise their children and educate their children and do the things that have to be done, you know. They're trying to figure out how to give more. God's bringing us into those days right now. If the Lord decides to take over the service, it's okay that I let him, isn't it? All right, now here's one that came just a few days ago, January 5th, through Pastor Dave. In the days to come, doctrine will be of such that teachings will go forward, and you will marvel. For many of the things that will be said will not have been said, since they were hidden in darkness and are now making their emergence against the day that I shall return. Blessed is he in that day who has my truth and is teaching others what my truth is. So rejoice and be exceedingly glad. For first, one major part of my plan will take place. And when the breakthrough takes place, then another major part of my plan takes place. Know you not, those who obey me, that one day the whole world will be looking at you, and it will be a day when I merge wealth with media. He said it again. For at last, in these last days, I have a way that my truth can be heard over the entire world. So be strong. Part of this plan includes you, says the Lord. Hallelujah. Is that good stuff or what? Hallelujah. I already read you this one, so let me read this one. Yes, sir. Cut up my side. Get the sequence correct here now. Hallelujah. Yes, sir. Okay. Hold up my side. Yesterday when I read you the summary of the lessons from the manna, which I'm going to look at again here real quick because he's reminding me. Let me read them to you again without comment. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you. Lesson number one, God's provision is by his grace. Lesson number two, God makes a way where there is no way. Lesson number three, don't ever be in fear concerning lack in the future. Those days are over. That's called worry, and it's called no faith. Lesson number three, no, that wasn't yet. Lesson number four, never fear sharing from what you have. every one of these lessons, if we had the time, I asked the Lord, what's going to happen this morning? And instantly, he shows me pictures nowadays. What I'm supposed to do this morning, the picture I saw was, you ever take a flat stone and skip it across a lake? All I'm doing, I'm taking you, and we're going to skip across and touch some highlights across the water. I'm supposed to take you from where you are to the other side. But I'm giving you tastes. Every time we touch the lake, that's a taste. That lake is available for you at the internet. It's already there for you at the website. There's a whole, you want a drink, we got a lake full for you. All I'm doing, I'm a stone skipping across. And you're going, whoa, maybe I ought to go drink there. Maybe you ought to. www.garycarpenter.org. Soon the prayer center is going to have their own, okay? They're working on it big time. It'll be something to behold when it comes. But for the time being, we do have this. Prayer is at HoustonRevivalCenter.com. HoustonRevivalCenter.com. LaRue has most of his signature teachings available there now. He didn't ask me to do this, but if you want the boxed CDs, if you want the physical CDs, you can purchase them. But if you don't have the money, or if you just want the revelation, you can download it for free. We have lakes for you to drink from. Hallelujah. It's there. All right. Let me finish these lessons here. Never fear sharing from what you have. The Lord sends enough. He that gathered much had nothing over. He that gathered little had no lack. I started to tell you, these teachings, all of these lessons from the manna, I found out later, Jesus taught from this foundation. How about don't share from what you have? Do you ever hear anybody teach a lesson like, if you have two coats, and your brother only, if he doesn't have any, share your extra one with him. You ever hear any lessons like that? How about never fear lack in the future? Consider the ravens. Consider the birds of the air. They don't sow, they don't reap, and they don't gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Gary, are you making a law that we don't have savings account? I did not say that. You don't live your life, though, in fear of the future. No, I don't think every flat tire should be a faith project and you have to confess the money in. Let's take the whole Bible. He talks about the ant that works diligently in the summer to gather its food. Amen? What he is talking about is don't live in fear. You know that depression mentality? The people that live through the depression? Well, I understand why they're like that. My parents live like that. He wants us to be good stewards, but he does not want you living in fear. That's the lesson from the manna. Okay, can we continue? Number 5, do not be lazy. Every time Dave teaches this one message, we lose a few people from the prayer center. The message is, get a job, lazy man. Get a job, lazy man. Here's something just to, here's a stone skipping across the water for you. You know these conferences we have that are all for full-time ministers? You know, I mean, this isn't one. I mean, everybody can come to this one. But they do have these conferences only for the full-time. You are aware that Paul could not attend that. I think I'm about to get the white hanky here. You get it on D. I'm getting the white hanky already. Hallelujah. That means preach it, white boy. Preach it. Lesson number 6. Now, this is one we're going to look at in detail here, if the Lord allows me. Beware covetousness. We're going to come back to that one. Lesson number 7, God is with you. Boy, you better get that. That's the revelation that kept them out of the promised land. See, and that's, if you don't get this one, that you're not winning this by your own strength. One of the lessons that one of them that Dave really liked is when we saw the summary in Deuteronomy 8. Yes, sir. And we may get to look at that again. But one of the things that the Lord warned him about, he says, now, I've been feeding you with manna for 40 years. I'm about to bring you into this land where you're going to be wheat farming and barley farming and mining iron out of the mountains and doing all these things. He says, don't you begin to think, even though this is your occupation now, don't begin thinking that it's your hand that's feeding you. I fed you in the wilderness with manna, and I am feeding you in this promised land with these occupations. Don't you ever forget who your source is. And that's the big sin of America. That's the big sin of America, pride. The strength of my hand and my own intelligence has gotten me this wealth. My hand is feeding me. You're in for a rude awakening. Anyway, God is with you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Yes, you in your own strength? No, you cannot do it. But if God is with you, what'd Caleb say? These giants are bred for us. These strongholds, these Hittites and Amorites, and these warlike people, we'll eat them up. For our God delights in us, and we are well able to take the land. Glory to God. But then the last one is this. Lesson number 8. Got to remember, Egypt is a type of the land of not enough. The wilderness is the land of barely enough. The promised land is the land of more than enough. But you got to understand this. On the day that they camped in the promised land, the manna ceased. From that point on now, you could go out with your manna bucket like you had been for the 40 years. You could go out there and wait for the manna. You could have intercessory teams gather in prayer. You could confess the manna until your lips fell off on the floor. But the manna is not coming again. There is no such thing as abundance without war. You're going to have to set your manna bucket down. You're going to have to draw out a sword. What sword do you reckon that might be? The sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. And you're going to have to go to war. Because the enemy considers the wealth to be his. And you're not going to take it without victory. And that victory has to be won first in the Spirit. Second, in the natural. I'm going to be able once more to make men wealthy, for they first came to me, and I was able to do in them what needed to be done. Hallelujah. He's told me for years, making people wealthy to him is so easy. That part is one idea from God. And you can become so wealthy, Bill Gates would look like a pauper. You can, just one idea from God. That's not the issue. The problem is, can he do it? Can he make you wealthy and it not destroy you? Hallelujah. All right. That was my introduction. Now my time starts now, right? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. See, I need to keep a place here. I want to look at the passage that got me started on the manna. Actually, it's amazing how you can read over verses time and again, maybe dozens of times, hundreds of times. Philip knows what I'm talking about. And it just not dawn on you. I mean, you know, you pray in the Spirit, and then one day you go through there, and it's like, why haven't I ever seen this before? And 2 Corinthians, is that, now you tell me, is that Old Testament, New Testament? New Testament. Paul is writing this. I mean, the Corinthian church is where we find out the most information that we have about the gifts of the Spirit and speaking with other tongues. I mean, for sure this is a born-again, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking, devil-casting-out church like here, like us today. This is the people in the same dispensation as us. And Paul, in this passage, is exhorting them about taking up an offering because there was a famine going on in Jerusalem. And so he's writing this letter exhorting them to prepare ahead of time so that they can help send a relief offering to the saints in Jerusalem who are in famine. So let's just pick it up here in verse 10, chapter 8, verse 10. He says, and herein I would start in verse 9, by the way, except if I start there, that'll be the whole service. Okay? We got a large drink of water. There's a lake full of water about verse 9 already at the website. All right, but he wants to skip. He wants to get you across to something today. We're just going to skip, okay? Here we go. Herein I give my advice, for this is expedient for you, talking about this offering, who have begun before not only to do, but also to be forward a year ago. Now, therefore, perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance out of that which you have. Now get this. For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. Now this is a bonus. This part's free. Then how could there be a special offering? Excuse me, a special blessing on $1,000 gift in any service. You tell me, when many of the people don't have $1,000 to give, and the Lord says right here, if their first is a willing mind, it's accepting according to what you have. Here's another one for you. There's a show on called Mythbusters. That'd make a good name for a ministry. But here's another one. How could it ever be, according to this, if it's true here, I figure Paul knows what he's talking about. If it's true that it's accepted according to what you have, as long as there's a willing mind, then how could it ever be that you just haven't given enough? And you may need to maximize your credit card. You need to give one of those Cornelius-type offerings where it'll come up as a memorial before God, before He'll move for you. So you just haven't given enough yet. Maybe you need to borrow, max out those credit cards, show God you're serious. How about some faith? How about some myth? Liar. LaRue, you are free to edit these tapes, you know. For if there be first, well, let's just read it. Maybe I read it wrong. Let's see. I'm just a simple man, you know. If there be first a willing mind, Lord, I'd like to give you a lot more, but I only have pocket change. It is accepted that according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not. For I mean not that other men be eased and you burdened, but by an equality, that now at this time your abundance may be a supply for their want, that their abundance, apparently at another time, also may be a supply for your want, that there may be equality. Now notice this. Here, Paul quotes from the manna, something that is actually before the law. You know, the manna is given in Exodus 16, and the law doesn't begin till Exodus 20. This is something instituted even before the law. Paul reaches all the way back and picks this up, talking to born-again, Spirit-filled, tongue-talking Christians. That's what got me started on that path of the manna. As it is written. Written where? Exodus 16. He that gathered much had nothing over, and he that had gathered little had no lack. And it dawned on me. I said, Paul, what are you? You're validating your position to born again, spirit filled people by going all the way back in the Old Testament to something before the law? And I couldn't understand that. It got me going back and, again, meditating. Y'all remember the definition of meditate? Well, all of you wasn't here. What it means is meditate. Read it again and think about it and pray in the Spirit and ask the Holy Spirit, what does this mean? Why is Paul doing this? Why is he, here is a bridge. First time Dave heard me teach on this, he called it a bridge, and I didn't really see it as quickly as he did. It really is a bridge from Old Testament to New, because God does not change. Remember, all the descendants of those people that went through that 40-year period, think of all the people that came out of their loins. King David, Solomon, kings came out of them. Also, priests came out of them. Samuel, Samson, the judges. All of these different callings, all these different things. But it didn't matter what their callings were. They all started from the same foundation. They had in common the law, which was for them a type and a shadow of the new nature, because they could not be born again and have a law on the inside that comes from the new nature. God gave them an external law, which was their vision, their sight to walk by. We didn't know coveting was wrong. Now you do. Walk this way. I didn't know adultery was wrong. He gave them the law. Now you know it's wrong. Walk this way. Without a vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, blessed is he. Blessed is that man that keeps the law. Why? He had a sight. He had, the law was his vision. The law was to his soul what the new nature is to your soul. You got that? Anyway, hallelujah. So, but the other thing they had in common, all of those descendants, trace it back to their ancestors. All of their ancestors all received that same training for 40 years. They all went through, they learned the same lessons. They all came from the same foundation. Didn't matter if he was a king. Let's say it this way for our purposes. Didn't matter if you were a captain of industry, or if you were the dishwasher in the local cafe. They all had that same heritage from the manna. Now, we're skipping the stone, okay? We do not have time to go in and teach those lessons from the manna, but briefly, let's look at the summary. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 8. Now, Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses is summarizing for them the 40 years that they've been out in the wilderness. He's talking about the whole book of Deuteronomy. He is reminding them of the law. He is summarizing all the journeys and the battles that they've been in. And what he's doing is preparing. Now, Moses himself is not going to cross over and go to the other side. But in this book, he is summarizing everything that's transpired up to this point, because they are about to go over and possess the land. And the Lord began speaking through Moses here. And again, we're just going to be able to touch on a few of these things. But let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 8 and pick it up in verse 2. Why did God have to do this? Now remember, he's taking a group of people who could not believe, let's say it this way, who could not possess their inheritance. He's changing them now to this group of people who's been through the 40 years. They have changed now and become a people who can believe the word of God. And they are going to possess the land and their inheritance, but they have to do it by warfare. That is about what's to happen in the kingdom finance realm. Kings are about to go to war. You hear me? You better remember these lessons from the manna. See, I haven't even heard them. www.garycarpenter.org. What will they cost me? They're free. Say, well, I don't have a computer. Write us. You can contact us through this ministry or post office box 9667 Tulsa, Oklahoma 74157. If you need the cassette tapes, we'll send you the cassette tapes. What will they cost me? they're free. There won't even be a return envelope in it. If God doesn't tell you to send us any money, please don't send it. Well, unless you purpose in your heart that you'd like to. If you'd like to help us send some more, we appreciate it, but it's not required. Back to this. Why did he send them through the wilderness? Here it is, verse 2. Thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee. What? What, Lord? What? You led me through. Lord, I was fine till I began attending the prayer center or getting I was just fine. Before we started coming to that Houston Revival Center and getting LaRue's tapes and Pastor Dave's tapes and your tapes and we just started doing what was on that message, and we suddenly had this wilderness experience. Lord, why are you doing that to me? And the very first word that he says is, to humble you. Now, see what's really odd about that? I started to skip this one. He says, no, it's all right. Give them this one. The humbling they needed is exactly the opposite of what you're thinking. You want to see? Here's pride. You want to hear pride? We have looked at our circumstances, and we have looked at your word. You said that we can conquer those. But we look at our circumstances, and we have decided what we will believe. And we believe that we be not able, based on our decision and what we think is truth. God says, you need a little humbling. Because you don't even understand what pride. See, we think we're being humble. I'm just so weak. I'm so foot sore and so poorly shod as I journey through this world, but at the end, there's God. Pride. Pride. Think you know more than God, do you? Think your weakness is stronger than his strength? What you're really saying is you don't believe he's with you. And you don't believe he'll do what he said he will do. That's the group he's talking to. They said, we've seen the circumstance. We know what you said. We know what you said. You said you'd go before us and you'd conquer. We know. They had the same word that the second group had. That first group said, but we've seen the circumstances and we'll just make our own decision. Thank you very much. Thank you for your counsel. We appreciate your input. Can you see it's pride? We've decided we're not able. Thank you for your counsel. You shall remember all the way that the Lord thy God has led thee through those Dave tapes. All that prayer, all that fasting, that wilderness experience. And I love you, and I did it to humble you and to prove you and to find out what was in your heart, whether you would keep my commandments or not. And he humbled thee, and he suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know. Now here's the whole purpose of the 40 years right here. That he might make thee know that man does not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord does man live. The first group came up to the promised land. They spied it out. They saw these giants in the land. They saw these fortified cities. They saw this warlike people. They were a bunch of slaves, for crying out loud. They didn't have any experience in war. They looked at their circumstances. They looked at themselves, but they looked at one other thing. They looked at what God said. God says, I've given you the land. I will go before you. I will send my angel like the hornet, and I will drive this enemy out before you, and you will utterly consume them. This group had the first group had the same word of God that the second group had. But the first group was full of themselves. They trusted what they saw. They trusted their physical circumstance, what their physical senses told them. And in pride, they said, we be not able. Thank you for your counsel, but we be not able. He says, I'm going to have to change this Israel as one man. I'm going to have to change them from a group who thinks they live by sight. They've got to become a people who knows that they live by every word that comes out of my mouth. If you're going to possess the promised land, you kings, if you're going to go to war and possess your part of it, you are going to have to be a person who lives by what God says to you. You're going to live by this word, the written word of God, and you're going to live by His spoken word to you, either through prophecies through others or what He says to you directly in your own fellowship time. But what He says to you, that's what you live by, and not your circumstances. Most of the people that I know that's been involved in trading, whether it be stocks, whether it be commodities, most of them will tell you once you get to know them well enough, where the walls come down, it's not the markets that caused them to lose money. Usually, it's emotions that caused them to lose it. You know. Even if they did get a true word from God and God says, do this, buy here and sell there. Trouble is, on the way to there, there were some real valleys. And it looks like, oh my God, we're going to lose everything. We're going to lose everything. We better get out. What did God say? At this point, we're just trying to stay alive. We be not able to do what God said. Yes, you are able to do what God said. Most of them will tell you they bailed at the wrong time, based on emotion. And had they stuck to what God told them, everything would have worked out fine. Now, you can take that same thing into every area of life. I don't care if you're called to pastor a church in Georgia. I don't care if you're called to conquer the commodities market. I don't care what, and I'm not really looking at anybody on purpose, but whatever it is God's called you to do, what did God say? Whatever He said to you, do that. That's the whole lesson. That's the whole reason for the wilderness training. Have you yet become a person who doesn't trust yourself more than you trust God? Do you trust what He says more than you trust what your eyes see? What your logic tells you, what your ears tell you, what CNN tells you? For crying out loud. What did God say? Yeah, but it looks like if we're going to do that, if we're going to do what God said, we're going to die. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up here in verse 8. Paul is writing this letter to the Corinthians. He says, we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia. Boy, do y'all remember all the trouble that Paul went through in Lystra, Derbe, Ephesus? They such a roar came that for several hours they were shouting against Paul and those that were traveling with him. They were praising their goddess, you know. I mean, in one city, they stoned Paul to the point they thought he was dead. Drug him out of the city and left him for dead. You know, I've never had anybody throw a rock, a big one, in anger at my face. I've tried to think what that would feel like. I mean, you know, just somebody with a rock about to, just take a brick. You know what a brick is, and just come up to, just, can you imagine? And what if there's a dozen of them, and they don't stop throwing them until they don't see your chest moving anymore? Can you imagine? That's the kind of persecution. We're not talking about they sat in your chair. That's the kind of trouble now that Paul's talking about. Put yourself in his shoes for a minute. We won't have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Now this next verse says we had the sentence of death in ourselves. In the margin of my Bible, an alternate rendering for that word translated sentence is answer. We had the answer of death. I looked it up. I'm not a Greek scholar, but I have a concordance. I looked that up. That's a military term. In today's language, it would be like a platoon who had crossed over into enemy lines. And they had secured a hill, but now the enemy had enclosed around them. And it looks like certain death because they're trapped now. And so they, in our language, they've like radioed back to the general. We don't know what to do. We're here. We're holding the position. But it looks like if we stay here, it's certain death. What do you want us to do? Do you want us to retreat? Or do you want us to stay? What is your answer? The answer comes back. Stay. Even unto death. We had the sentence of death in ourselves. Why? Why? That we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. If there is a word for you kings who are about to go to war in the realm of kingdom finances, you will be where the general sends you. You will be doing what the general says for you to do. And even if it looks like certain death, it's okay to ask him. Paul asked him, what do you say? What should we do? Do we stay or do we retreat? If he says stay, even though it looks like financial suicide, you are not the general. And you have no right to make the choice. Stay. Learn to trust the living God who quickens the dead. He will, if he has to, he'll raise your finest. He'll say, Lazarus, come forth. He can quicken you to life again, and that includes your finances. But the church today has got to learn the same lesson. We're really the descendants. We're going all the way back to those lessons they learned in the manna. They learned from the manna. If God has to bring water out of the rock, he'll bring water out of the rock. If he has to send bread from heaven, he'll send bread from heaven. Our God makes a way where there is no way. Now, I'm telling you, the days of being blown around by every wind of doctrine, by being blown around by fear, being blown around by there's a recession coming, there's, oh, brother, give me a break. That's called, that is no different. If you get moved by those kind of things, then you're just like the first group. What did God say? Yes, sir. What am I son did it, Beto? Okay. See, I'm going, Lord, there is so much. And I see the stone skipping now. All right, here we go. We're going to close fairly early today. Here's a prophecy that came through Dave. Oh, my. This was 9/11. 2005. See if this fits with what he how he took over the service, see if this fits, a fitting way to conclude. Because the world isn't always going to, we're not saying that the world is going to get better financially. I don't know. In fact, what I'm about to read to you, there's some implications. It may get pretty rough for the world. What's that got to do with you? You're in it, but you're not of it. We have a different source than the world has. The Lord said through Pastor Dave on 9/11/2005, "For when the man-made systems begin to fail and will not provide that which they hunger for, neither will their thirst be quenched. For what many thought was the hard path will be the path that has the answers. So be you therefore strong, and walk not the way of the world, but walk with me. For you will find that my yoke is easy, and my burden, it is light. For there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, and crying out when all those things begin to fail the people who trusted in them the most. Therefore, stand you by with me. Be faithful in your walk, and I will provide for you. Have I not said that not a hair on your head would perish? Therefore, lift up your voice in a troubled time, and let the world hear what I have said, says the Lord." I think we better just stand up for a moment. Lift your hands. Lift your voice. Say, "I trust you, even unto death. If I live, I live unto you. If I die, I die unto you. But whether I live or whether I die, I belong to you, Jesus. And I trust you." Now shout about it. Hallelujah! Hallelujah!
Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. The Lord stirred him up this morning, huh? You feel the Lord stirring the water this morning a little bit. Glory be to God. You know, he's got to do that to us. He's got to stir. You know, these men that went in the promised land, they were stirred. I mean, when Caleb and Joshua responded to the unbelief that those men were representing, I mean, they were stirred about it. I mean, they rose up and they said, "Listen, we're well able." They knew it would be the loss of inheritance if that unbelief was allowed to stay. I tell you, we've got to get stirred. Amen. Glory be to God. Thank you, Father, for this word today. Father, let it be sealed. Let it be sealed, Father. Let it be sealed. And Father, we are on the rock. You placed us there, and we shall not be moved.